Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bow Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
It's really, really not that good.
Episode number 148 of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast, right here in beautiful Sherrard, Illinois, 1600 Buckslayer Place is the address. Just don't tell the government that. We're in the Buckatorium. My name's Steve. In the studio today, Kurt.
Hi.
Eric.
Well, good morning. Hi.
Good.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning. If you're listening in the morning, good morning.
You never know.
If you're listening at night, good night.
It feels good to be in the podcast studio, guys, with you young gentlemen, you strapping young lads.
Strapping young lads.
There's no guest on the podcast today, and we're going to kind of take this all over the place because we feel sometimes we just need to bullshit a little bit and do what hunting camp's all about.
We're good at that.
Yes, so that's what this whole episode will be on. So if you're into that, that's great. Listen along. If not, skip to the next one when there isn't.
Yeah, exactly. Strap in if you're ready for an interesting ride. But, you know, this is a fun podcast. We couldn't do it without our wonderful partners at Elite Archery, elitearchery.com. Go ahead and check them out.
Scent Crusher, scentcrusher.com as well. Killing all your smelly feet needs.
Sorry, I forgot to put my Scent Crusher out of the way here. My bad. Smith's Custom Meats and Deer Processing right there in lovely Viola, Illinois. Couple of hollers down. You know the deal.
Right, right. And, of course, HHA Sports. Love them. Single pin sights are our beautiful man friend, Scott Bakken.
Yep, and getting ready for 3D season. The Virtus Rest should be any day.
We don't have ours yet. It's cool.
Not yet. You know, I guess there's some more important people, but...
It's cool.
You know, it's
That's awesome. Good cause for our veterans. Virtus 22, what is it? 22 veterans a day? Is that the statistic?
22 veterans a day take their lives due to PTSD. They're trying to put an end to that. That number needs to be negative 22. All those men need to be, brought back. I mean, we should never, men and women, I should say. We never should have lost these wonderful people, but... You know, it's the sad reality, and whatever anyone can do,
do it. You know, go donate to a charity. Buy the Virtus Rest. 2.2% is going to go to veteran charities. So,
right.
Speaking,
good cause, lifetime warranty too. Well, you got a veteran shout out today, Steve.
I wanted to roll into this. The veteran charities, the Dark Horse Lodge, is getting the ball rolling. Yep. It's going to be a peaceful retreat for combat vets. Check them out, darkhorselodge.org. It's like right outside Paris, Tennessee. One of these days we're going to post like a picture of where it's going to be, but they broke ground. Everything's going on. Again, a peaceful...
Hopefully podcast with them soon so we can talk about everything they have going on. But
yeah, absolutely. And again, a peaceful retreat for combat vets. They're going to be able to, you know, hopefully hunt, fish, do all that.
All things that are good.
Relax. All things that are good. Yeah, relax. It's just a nice thing. These guys went over, guys and gals, I should say.
Good things going on over there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this while we're on talking about Dark Horse Lodge.
Exactly. Oh, you knew where I was going.
Next weekend, if you're listening to this as it's released, May 6th here in Illinois, right around the Quad City area near Moline, Illinois. If you're in the area and you're interested, it's actually going to be in Milan, Illinois. If you're interested, we're having our shoot. We do this every year. It's people message us and they're like, hey, man, what is your 3D shoot? Is it known distance, unknown distance? So it's like, well, it's neither.
It's for fun.
It's not like a 3D shoot. It's getting people together and it's shooting your bow and having a good time. And what we're doing is $25 a person, and we're going to donate a majority of the proceeds to the Dark Horse Lodge to help them get rolling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're gonna have a cookout. We'll be drinking some cold ones.
Shooting bows.
Yeah,
or some warm ones if we run out of ice. We don't play. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
So we just like to get people together. And that's really the basis of this whole podcast is doing what we're doing right now. Three bow hunters sitting in a room during the off season.
Shooting the breeze.
And
shooting something.
So we're gonna have some 3D targets out. It's gonna be shoot down style. Like everyone's on the line, there's targets at different distances, we're gonna play some games. It's always a good time.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes everyone can make it out and there's a bunch of people there, and sometimes everyone has to work or family stuff going on. But no matter how many people show up, we are having fun to the fullest. So it's going to be awesome. I'm super excited for it. You guys are going to hear about me stomping out cold Eric and Steve at the shoot, just completely making them look like idiots.
We've already went over this. That's not how this works.
And you're going to hear about Steve out drinking Kurt and Eric because someone's been training. Yeah, after the shoot. it's going to be a fun time, and we're all going to get together, have a good time. Again, we're going to be sending some money to Dark Horse Lodge, so get in contact with us. We're on social media, you know, Working Class Bowhunter, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
If anyone wants to come, just email us, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then speaking of all that, if you want to email us, there's a form. We'll send you the form password and all that. And you fill out and you fill out the form whether you're going to come and all this stuff. And you can come on out, have a great time with us. That also being said, if you head over to workingclassbowhunter.com, the store just went live like 5 minutes before we started recording this podcast. We're waiting on shirt orders. We're waiting on hats. Other stuff's coming to the store, but for now, there is our regular hat that we have, and some decals and koozies and stuff up there for right now. Just the smaller goodies. The other stuff is getting rolling. There's kind of a wait and a hold up on it, but it's coming along. Workingclassbowhunter.com. Go on there. The store is live.
So it should be good. If you have any issues, again, get in contact with us. We'll get it right. We'll get everything straightened out for you. So this is awesome. This is new to us, having a store available. We want to be able to get you guys all the gear that you've been asking for. And, hey, we're happy to provide it.
Long overdue. Yes. Long overdue.
To the episode. This is there's no topic, no defined thing.
Not really.
We kind of went in unscripted 100% on this because sometimes they make for good episodes, sometimes they're really bad. And then we might do like a second half interview Steve's life. We might have like a 60 minutes, only more like a 30 minute of Steve's life.
Good Lord.
Let's talk about the industry. I like to talk about the industry and analyze where it's at and where it's going. We do a lot. We go on rants sometimes.
But it needs to be done sometimes.
It does. It's a great time to do. It's good though, because we evaluate ourselves at the same time. Sure. And I feel like that's important. I get to step back, and some people might be like, man, these guys are being negative. These guys are being shit talkers, or these guys are just being, I don't know, who knows?
You might agree with us 100%. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we don't know. I'm going to ask Let's talk about like hunting television, because there's so many hunting shows going on right now, and it's
crazy. You can't even keep up with them all anymore,
dude. Well, honestly, everything hunting is, if you're talking like hunting teams that for some reason just have a social media page but don't actually do anything but just be a team with their buddies, which is completely fine. Yeah. I didn't mean like they don't actually do anything. They don't have a production.
Guys just sit around talking to the microphones and drinking beer once a week.
Right. Like, yeah, well, geez. But even like podcasts, social media pages, television shows, internet web shows, YouTube or Carbon TV or My Outdoor TV, it's all of it's a saturated market now because access to cameras and equipment is so easy.
But you know what I might, if I may, I didn't know where you wanted to go with that.
Spit some game here. Let's hear it.
So where I think it's going to be, it's a good thing. Where it's going,
it is good.
It's very good. Competition is going to bring out the best in you. So you know, if you got a couple dudes that you wanted to start a podcast with, or you wanted to start a hunting show with, any of that, you know where everybody's at, and if you want to stand out, be a top guy.
Well, and anymore these days, it's possible to do it. You know, back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it was like, how do I start my own TV show?
Yeah, there was a lot of money.
And like, no one really knew how to do it, but now it's totally possible for anyone to do
People are millionaires for just getting up and just talking in front of a YouTube camera about hot topic issues.
You can get in front of anyone now just because of the internet.
Yeah, it's no joke. People are millionaires off that. So there's definitely a market for... Obviously, I think what's really going to help the hunting industry is deals like Carbon TV. And you hear us talk about them all the time because we love them. Because
I love Carbon TV.
It's accessibility.
Sure, yeah.
One of those two.
We get it. We get it.
Well, you can go on there anytime. I don't have to sit there and wait till Sunday. DVR, I think, really helped the game.
But I think that's all going to be gone. I mean, it's going to go away.
Scheduled television is not going to last any longer.
The thing is with a production, though, no matter if it's like a television show, a podcast, YouTube, whatever, even if you just you're trying to make a hunting show production through Snapchat, which that's an idea, and I'll take credit for that if you do it. We should do that. We should film a hunting show. It's just all Snapchats.
Like our story would be like 13 million seconds long.
It's a show, yeah. Just our Snapchat story. But someone will come out with that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
They'll figure out something.
What was I saying? Oh, it's such a saturated market. Like now, even in the last year, there's been 100 more podcasts. And probably because of, I mean, Joe Rogan podcast is one of my favorite podcasts. Well, but Cam Haynes and John Dudley.
All because of us. Let's not beat around the bush. It's because we are the finest bow hunting podcast ever to be produced in Sherrod,
like,
Illinois.
What I was getting at is like whether you're in a podcast, a hunting show, or whatever, anyone can have one.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, it looks saturated. But if you break it down, like if you think hunting shows and someone says, top five hunting shows. Steve, go. Top five hunting shows right now.
Top five.
I put you on the spot. There's so many, it's going to be hard for you to
identify. Yeah, and it's like, okay, where do I start?
But you have a top five, though. Name top five that come to your head right now. Don't even think. Just name top five hunting shows.
Virtue.
Yep. Keep going. You're too slow.
Heartland Bowhunter.
Mm-hmm.
Respect the Game.
Mm-hmm.
Bone Collector.
One more.
And number five, I think I'm going to go with...
You rattled off ones you actually watch.
I watch.
I was going to say like top five into mine right now.
Red Arrow. Okay. These are the ones. These are top five to me.
It was kind of like I say this top of your head. What you did now is fine. Now mention why did those shows stick out to you, and why were those the shows that rattled off and not the other million shows?
Well, here's most of them. It's because I've gotten to know some people personally, which social media, that's a real easy thing to do. I just love the Virtue, and it was great to meet Philip. That has no damper on anything like that.
We're a little biased there. Yeah. That's more of a biased answer.
That's a
biased
thing, but
I kind of put you on the spot too.
Yeah, no, when we were first getting Clark on, and I hadn't watched Respect the Game because I don't have... I don't have the channel, the Outdoor Network or Sportsman's. I don't have...
Your episodes are online.
I don't have cable. But they are online, and I found out that they were online.
Yep.
And that was another key. And I started watching. I was like, oh, cool. I get to, you know, check this out, and the production's good, and I fell in love with the show. It wasn't because I was like, oh, I know that guy on there, I know that guy on there. It was one of those things that, yeah, I was able to access it, but if I didn't know any of the guys on there, but I found out I could watch that, it'd still be top five.
What I was kind of getting at is,
like, their own, each show has their own dynamic is kind of what, like, yep, you're getting at.
Their own unique thing that sets them aside a little bit, sure, from other shows, and that's what makes them stand out to you. Like, if you just subconsciously just named off those shows, of course, we know some of them, but even then, like, we talked to Paul Biggs last week and Larry McCoy and Clark and Ross.
And they talk about their...
Well, the cool thing about Respect the Game is what I'm getting at here is, like, they don't have one guy that runs their show.
Yeah, exactly. They have multiple.
They have a family of guys that run their show in a different sort of, mm-hmm, way. Like, each episode is unique in its own way by who is on it. But more what I'm leaning towards is, like, Kip Campbell from Red Arrow and the Bone Collector Boys, their dynamic and personality and how they do things.
Yeah, they're top guys.
It's stands them out from the rest of the crowd. And that's the thing with the podcast. Some people might absolutely hate us, but then some people might prefer it because Steve is crazy. Eric's like few words, but he says what he means. And I don't even know. I can't even analyze myself, but
it's, oh, you're just Kurt.
I'm just me, you know, just white trash. Yeah, it's all it is.
So bring just, it back. Watch this. And
you know what I'm saying though? Yeah, does that make sense? My point?
Absolutely. This is how it, watch this. I'll tie this into pro wrestling. Like I always do.
Here we go.
Here we go. So the way you can tie that in is,
I'm gonna go take a nap quick.
And why I think that
I gotta poop.
There's a Kurt poops live on the podcast.
Let us know when you're done with this.
Yeah. So,
see this red button here on the recording software? Just hit that when you're done, Steve.
Okay, yeah. So just press it. You don't want it lit up. Here's why. You start putting all this, everything out there, you never know who's going to be the next Michael Waddell. And a lot of the guys we talk to that have just been cats, they're in Mercer County. You know, say you had all these different wrestling territories. Well, if they're not all televised, you know, some guys up in, you know, Canada might not know who Ric Flair is. Obviously, we do now because you're able to reach the masses. But when you're working a specific territory, you're not going to know these guys. You know, you're not going to know who the Rock and Roll Express is. I think as cool as a tool as the internet is, I think that the more that there's to offer, the better stars that are going to come out of it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to try and put down anyone like Michael Waddell or T-Bone or them guys, because them dudes grinded. And this is back in the time where...
Well, those dudes are good at what they do, man.
Oh, yeah.
And they work good together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was no... Sure. You're going to make money hunting at that time? No, that wasn't ever going to happen. Same thing with, like...
They're pioneers. Waddell and,
yeah,
all,
for
and
sure.
Blanton and all them guys.
But they're really, really good at what they do. So, mm-hmm, I think that...
It's also nowadays with the experience, too. They've been doing it for so long.
Exactly.
But, no one starts that good at, like... It's weird, man. If you ever had a camera put on you or a mic shoved in your face, it's weird to be natural.
Mm-hmm. But how long did it take for them to get to this point where they're at now? It took, I mean, forever.
Hey, yeah. but let me put this in your head. How long do you think it would have taken them to get, if there was no
these
bone
days,
collector?
These
yeah,
days.
And,
oh, it'd take
and
forever.
Say there was an idea for Bone Collector to start in 2016. How soon do you think they would have been top guys?
I think it takes way longer these days than it did back then.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I would agree with Eric because of this, because the internet wasn't around, but if you got in with the right crew and you did it right, like the Juries, like they just grinded it out on their own and did it and killed big bucks, and then it's like, damn, these dudes from Iowa or wherever they're from, you know, when they all started, I think it snowballs. It takes more work and it's harder to get in front of people, but once you do, I think it takes off because there's no one else doing it.
Yeah, but you're saying it takes longer. So obviously with the market being...
It's a tough question.
It is a tough question. I think that question could go either way.
Yeah, and you
I
had
think
to,
back then in 1995, if you took 15 grand and threw it at some cameras, and I don't know how much cameras were back then. So just say that got you a couple cameras and some software, or
some VCR VHS. Tape. Yeah, VHS.
Whatever.
Tapes.
You could hire a guy to do that for you and then get it to the right people. I feel like your money would go further then than it would now.
And I think, too, back then, the the industry was a lot smaller than it is now.
Right, right.
So you only had to get it out to a certain select few.
Well, you could watch like the top 3-5 hunting shows that were in the game then, and you're like, okay, this is what they're doing. I'm going to do this differently. Okay. Rather than you look at 100 shows and go, okay.
You're like, oh, shit, now what do I do?
Yeah, but you're like, how the hell do I be different out of all that?
But check this out. Okay, so you're thinking, let's fast forward to 2017. You can put a video out right away, and people are going to be able to access it. Where back in the day when the Drurys, you know, or like any of the Monster Bucks VHS were coming out, you know, you had to take a drive, you know, you had to wait till they were released, take a drive to the video store. You know, you were waiting there as a kid while your old man was in the section that no kids were allowed in. Then you guys got your whatever movies you wanted, and you had to wait a while, and it was tougher.
Well, see, I still like that shit where you got to wait till it comes out to see it.
It's great.
I still buy the DVD, buy DVDs and stuff like that.
I do too.
Buy hard copies,
but that's not what the majority is doing.
No,
man.
You're right. Oh, it's not.
That's not what the so
they're like, hey, I shot this deer on Saturday. Here's the episode for it.
Yeah, here's a sneak
peek.
Boom.
Their turnaround is insane.
Which
now.
I do not hate.
I don't
probably
going to
be
either.
One of those guys that I. Again, there's nothing
like,
that
it was,
beats.
It was okay. Look at Whitetail Adrenaline when Jared Scheffler shot that monster, and all of a sudden it was just preview after preview, and then when it came out, I bet you they sold millions of copies.
Oh, for sure, because that deer was a monster. But you know what where I'm coming from, and because I used to work at a record store, and I still love collecting vinyl, and I love CDs, and I love hard copies. I haven't made that full transition to having everything on an iPhone. Number one, because I accidentally here's a little tech tip for
Spotify,
for you guys out there. If you were ever offered an iPhone and they give you like a 32 gig, get the 128 gig because you are not going to have any room for anything.
Well, we don't know what you're doing on your phone, so
I can't do anything because like the software keeps updating. But I haven't made that transition to having all my media on a phone. Like, I still love hard copies, but
let me switch gears here because I feel like I get where you're going with this. I didn't mean to cut you off,
but you know, because you can buy Monster Bucks like on iTunes.
I know, but I'd much rather have the hard copy. I'm different.
Oh, I would
though.
Too. I'm right there with you.
I have
See,
a library.
It don't matter to me. Like if I can watch it, I'll buy it.
I just
way.
Like to have it physically. But
no. And
what do you
cover.
Guys do? Like our listeners, do you still buy hunting DVDs? Like the physical copy? Do you do everything online? Where do you go to get your DVDs? Do you order from their website, or do you not care? Do you just watch whatever's online for free or YouTube? Or that would be interesting to hear from everyone what they do and who's your what's your favorite show right now? And that being said, who's your favorite outdoor personality? Steve, who's your favorite outdoor personality? And then Eric, I just gave you time to think about it.
One of my top favorites, I'm going to say.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead
Kip
first?
Kip Campbell from Red Arrow.
Yeah.
Just because his personality, he's freaking hilarious.
His little infomercials are hilarious.
Yes, that's what I love about him. And then meeting him at the ATA, he was exactly the same as he was on his infomercials.
He actually is, yeah. Steve?
All right, so I've only talked to the guy on the phone once, and this is my top guy right now. And it could change within a couple days, but just seeing everything that the dude's doing, I gotta say Dan Drake. I don't know why, every time that guy, I'm glued to the screen.
Dan Drake from Scent Crusher.
Dan Drake from Scent Crusher, yeah, I should mention it, Scent Crusher.
Great dude.
But, yeah, because he just, I remember when we first talked to him, and maybe I am a little biased. You know, we've been working with him, but, like, the first time we talked to him, it's like, you're a great dude, and I wish everybody could meet you. And
the thing about Dan is he is happy all the time.
He seems like he's just a good time.
He's just full of life, man.
That's your favorite outdoor personality in general as a whole. He's not necessarily on. I mean, he's been on shows, but
this is just because of the things that and here's where I think I get a little caught up for all you guys who are like, oh, yeah, you're only saying that because, you know, they sponsor a show or whatever. No, it's the way that I see things on Instagram when I get time to. I wish Instagram didn't go to, like, random stuff. I wish it was, like, how it used to be where it was, like, and Facebook went to that where it's, like, the algorithms. I really enjoy him because of that bubbly person. I like having positivity in my life. I think
you guys. I'd be interested to see you guys hanging out at a hunting camp.
Yeah, I've not met the guy, but you know,
on television, like if someone's going to watch a show.
So if someone's going to watch a show,
and pick quicker,
buddy. I don't know.
Be faster.
I don't know. What about you? What you say, and I'll think about it. So I've got like seven I could pick from.
I grew up like a lot of people, like such a Waddell fan just growing up. David Blanton, for some reason. I just grew up watching Monster Bucks was the what I grew up watching.
You can
only
pick one.
But if I had to pick one, like currently, like I'll always be a fan of like just the Real Tree Boys. Like I've always been into what they've done. It's always been a part of my hunting camp though, so it's, I have a different look on it. You know what I mean? Like T-Bone, of course, like it's been so good to us.
Oh yeah.
Currently, like my favorite like TV show personality, right now I got to go Philip Vanderpool. I do,
yep,
man.
Yep.
Because I love watching. He's so wild.
You're biased because you met him in life.
No, though.
He's such a good dude, man.
We didn't get to see a whole lot of bubbly out of him. He's busy, you know, at the show and stuff. We did. We got to see quite a bit, but it's you can see his like passion through the show. Like through
he loves everything he does.
You can't just like
he
turn,
loves it.
You can't turn that on and off like for a camera.
No.
You know what I mean? Do you guys listen to other podcasts besides like hunting podcasts or not?
Oh, me?
I honestly don't know either one of you.
Yeah, I do.
Name off, recommend. I've always wanted to do this. We've never really had this segment lately. Like name off a couple like recommended podcasts that you have.
Ooh. Oh.
I don't listen to very many of them, honestly.
Really?
Dude, for sure, Dudley, Bill Burr.
I've listened to Dudley's quite a bit just for the.
Oh, you're talking hunting podcast. I thought you were talking.
Well, podcasts in general.
Yeah, oh, dude, Bill Burr, Monday Morning Podcast.
It's a great podcast. Sometimes on Tuesdays it comes out.
Sometimes on Thursdays. It's just, that's such a fun podcast to just get you through the day. And Bill Burr is one of those guys that, you know, every time you're, you know, there's sayings in hunt camp, you know, as soon as you're all big buck down or rage in the cage, every time I like hear something on the radio where it's like Zip Recruiter, I'll do the Bill Burr, Zip. Recruiter, it's just something that helps you get through.
Other podcasts do you listen to?
We do Rogue. I do Rogan when I can.
Hated Rogan, man, for the longest time.
I never hated Rogan. I just
couldn't get into it or what?
Because when I was doing stand-up, every single stand-up comedian had a podcast. So if you want to talk about a saturated market, you know, I knew some guys that were like, hey, we're doing a stand-up podcast. So I was like, yeah, good luck. I was like, you better come with a gimmick because everything's already ate up.
I see your point.
Bill
Burr, Rogan.
What else would I do? Bill Burr, Rogan.
Okay. I honestly don't listen to that many just because I don't have time to sit down and listen to one, you know?
Yeah, Mike Rowe had a cool podcast I was listening to.
Oh, that'd be
a
good one. I'll tell you what's in my podcast subscriptions right now.
Oh, the Steve Austin Show.
He has a podcast.
Yeah, Steve Austin has a really good podcast.
I have in my podcast subscriptions, I have Bill Burr Monday Morning Podcast, Meat Eater Podcast with Steve Rinella, the Aubrey Marcus Podcast. That one, I recommend it, man. If you're wanting to get in touch with your like spiritual side or like just become a better person, I feel like Aubrey Marcus is a good one.
Oh, for sure.
He'll like you'll analyze yourself a lot. And I need to listen to this podcast a little more, probably. I got Knock On, John Dudley.
Oh, yeah.
The Fighter and the Kid podcast is a hilarious podcast.
You listen to
Joe Regan. Eddie Bravo is the man.
He kind of came back with, like, they were doing a Flat Earth thing.
They were arguing over Flat Earth for, like, an hour.
Oh, I love it. Eddie Bravo.
Is that where you guys got that from?
Yeah, that's why I always talk, because it's hilarious. It's a hilarious conspiracy that it's like, come on.
Dude, I follow something. They make shirts on Instagram. It's like Flat Earth Shirt Company, and it's just, I kind of enjoy it, but
I want a shirt that just says the Earth is flat because it's ridiculous.
I hate how like they talk down to like, oh, you globe heads. It's like, all right, yeah, let's calm down, people.
let's put that on one of our shirts.
The Earth is flat.
Shooting as flat as the Earth, there, bud.
Yeah, my bow's so flat. You think my bow shoots so fast? You think the Earth was flat?
Yeah, Lord.
God. So I don't know, man. Like, just analyzing the industry is kind of a cool thing, and analyzing archery, like, where do you think the industry is going to go? Like, is it going to get crazier with the bows? Like, where do you draw the line?
Well, and that's the thing, too, with the bows, you know, you think, okay, what can they come out with next? Like,
yeah, I mean,
what can they do better? But they always seem to do it. I don't know how. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't. It's got to be in your limb and cam system, I would think.
It's got to be how that's all engineer. You know, we're no.
That's what powers
here.
The bow.
I guess the riser design and everything has something to do with it for the stiffness and whatever else.
Oh, I wish I had my form on here. There's a so like the Pope and Young Club is, you know, the Pope and Young Club and the. In the Boone and Crockett Club are like that's the bait that's the standard for
yeah,
for the measuring industry. Well, so like
the Pope and Young, isn't there for Pope and Young like that actual can only be
20?
Is it
29 inches?
I'm trying to pull it up right now.
Minimum.
I should know it by heart, but
this break brought to you by Bush Lattes. well, Kurt finds it up.
Equipment definitions. I think this is okay. So. Speaking of like where things are going, like Pope and Young, if for those of you who don't know, check out Pope. It's pope-young.org. And it's the bow hunting record book, essentially. Is that fair to say? It is the bow hunting record book.
Because it's bow hunting only.
It's the Fair Chase bow hunting record book, and it's based off the Boone and Crockett scoring system. They share the same system, and that is, you know, one side. The other, you know, one antler, the other antler spread.
Yeah, this it's
minus the deductions from side to side.
It's essentially in order. I don't know how to explain this more than what you're going to go and do. You have to have certain equipment. You have to hunt them a certain way. You know, it can't be.
But well, you can't argue with the way they're hunted because it's a fair chase.
That's true.
You know, people might. Anyway, let me get into this.
I mean, it's like any other record book, though.
I mean, you're not hunting at a petting zoo. You know, you're not gonna.
So if you guys are, I'm a member of the Pope and Young Club. I've been a member and a measure of the Pope and Young Club. I've been a member since 2008 or 9. I've been a measure since 2010. I like the Pope and Young Club. I think for a time there, I thought the Pope and Young Club was a little dated and had to kind of roll along with the times here. And they have a bit in their. Improving. The club's going to get better, and I think it's just going to keep getting better. It might take some time, but
And if you do sign up, you get an awesome magazine from the Pope and Young.
You get two. You get the Ethic, and you get the is it the Bowhunting magazine?
The Ethic is awesome.
So yeah, I'm a big supporter of the program, and I love it. The club's going to keep getting better and better. But for those of you who don't know, the Pope and Young Club, this is on their website, the Pope and Young Club has established the following standard definitions of bow hunting equipment. One, hunting bow. A hunting bow for big game shall be a longbow, flat bow, recurve bow, compound bow, or any combination of these designs meeting the following requirements and restrictions. Number one, a device for launching an arrow which derives its propulsive energy solely from the bending and recovery of two limbs.
So I got a quick question.
Yeah.
I wonder, so like, you know, when the first compound came out, like, I wonder how long it took for Pope and Young to recognize that, you know what I'm saying?
Well, the club's been around since, man, I should know this. I don't know. I should know. But
you know what I'm saying, though? Like, if there, I wonder if there was like a time there where they're like, eh, I don't know if we can consider this to put
right.
in the record book.
That's a good point. But, okay, so a device which derives its propulsive energy solely from bending and recovery of two limbs.
So no air bows is what you're saying.
Yes, that excludes.
We're not going there today.
The damn air bow. Two, the bow must be hand-drawn by a single and direct uninterrupted pulling action of the shooter. The bowstring must
arms.
I'm not done. The bowstring must be moved from the brace height to full draw position by the muscle power of the shooter's body. The energy used to propel the arrow shall not be derived from any other source such as hydraulic, pneumatic, mechanical, or similar devices.
Air.
These limitations shall not exclude the mechanical leverage advantage provided by eccentric wheels or cams. So long as the available energy stored in the bent limbs of the bow is the sole result of a single, continuous, and direct point effort by the shooter. So the limbs or the cams and everything like that is fine.
Good to go. Yeah, because you're still pulling it back. So yeah, obviously the energy's in the cams.
In the limbs.
Or in the limbs, yeah. So yeah, you're good to go there.
Right, this is and number three. The bow must be handheld. One hand shall hold the bow and the other shall draw the bowstring. The bowstring must be moved and or held at all points in the draw cycle entirely by muscle power of the shooter until release. The bowstring must be released as a direct and conscious action of the shooter's either relaxing the tension of the fingers or triggering the release action of a handheld release aid. Four, the bow shall be no shorter than 30 inches.
That's obviously axle to axle.
I would assume so, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure. I mean, maybe I don't know. That could go from top cam to the bottom of the cam.
Yeah, because...
But I don't know. You could have a bow that's a foot with huge cams.
So. Yeah, you have a foot-long bow with, 15-inch cams. Yeah, that's okay, that's interesting.
Exceptions. Physically handicapped bow hunters shall be accepted from the requirements of holding or shooting the bow with their hands. So... I don't know, like, if you had to do it with your feet.
Oh, yeah, I wonder. Or, like, your teeth?
Yeah, maybe. Exclusions. The following shall not be considered a hunting bow. A, number one on the list. A, number one on the list. A, number one on the list.
1A.
A crossbow.
Yep.
A crossbow. B, any device with a gun-type stock or incorporating any devices or mechanism that holds the bowstring at partial or full draw without the shooter's muscle power.
So remember, get a forearm grip. Just don't shoulder it.
I'm reading this whole thing. I don't know why.
No, that's fine.
Electronic or battery-powered devices shall not be attached to a hunting bow, with the exception of recording devices that cast no light towards the target and do not aid in range-finding, sighting, or shooting the bow.
So you can't put a laser on your bow and get in the Pope and Young Club.
No.
No, you could not.
Just like that rangefinder I had mounted on my bow at one time.
Yeah, a rangefinder mounted on your bow?
I did at one time.
What's this right here? No portion of the bow's riser, handle, parentheses, or any track, trough, channel, or other device that attaches directly to the bow's riser shall contact, support, and or guide the arrow from a point rearward of the bow's brace height. What?
Yeah, run. That's kind of confusing. I have no idea what you just said.
No portion of the bow's riser or track, trough, channel, or other device that attaches directly to the bow's riser shall contact, support, and or guide the arrow from a point rearward of the bow's brace height. So would that be like... I don't have anything.
I'm trying to think of something.
Would that be like an
example?
One of those steady form things that comes off the back of your riser and holds on to your forearm for it?
No.
That wouldn't be it.
No.
I don't know. I don't get that. I mean, maybe I'm reading it wrong.
I don't get it. It doesn't make sense, really.
Kid can't even read. Move on.
Let off for compound bows. Where did we get on all this? I lost track already. This is actually interesting to read.
This is why we're winging it.
Let off for compound bows. There's no maximum let off for a handheld, hand-release bow. We do gather statistics on this data, therefore we state how let off should be measured, which is really cool about Pope and Young. If you ever enter an animal in the record book, and I'm a measure, so like if Steve entered an animal, you'd fill out a fair chase form.
Yeah.
And basically what it does...
Fair chase affidavit.
It collects data from you. So if your bow was a 80% let off bow, you'd put in 80%. You'd put the brand. You'd put the weight and length of your arrow, the grains of your broadhead, fixed or mechanical broadhead, tree. How'd you kill it? From a tree stand? How many shots did you take? All this. And they use this and they put out, I haven't got one in a long time. I have one somewhere around here in the studio. It's like a book of statistics.
Oh, yeah.
And it has the dates and all that. So you can see, like, well, these are the highest success rates, these dates, like November 1 through November 6th for Pope and Young, whatever animal you want to look up.
And once you enter it in there, it's in there forever.
Yeah, you are a part of bow hunting history, which I have one in, and I have a pile of other ones that I haven't entered.
I have one in there also.
Hunting arrow. This is kind of... Should I go through all this? They're quick. Hunting arrow. Hunting arrow shall have the following characteristics. It shall be a projectile at least 20 inches overall length. The length of the arrow shall be measured from the rearward point of the knot. I mean, at that point, it's a bolt, you know, if you get shorter. Yeah, it really is. That's what they're trying to prevent. Fletching shall be attached to the aft end. A broadhead shall be mounted on the fore end. The arrow shall weigh no less than 300 grains with the broadhead attached. Which
that's kind of interesting.
You'd be shooting a real light arrow.
If
you shot like a 290 grain arrow with the broadhead attached.
Yeah, because I don't know who would do that, but...
Exclusion. Well, no electronic or battery-powered devices shall be attached to the arrow with the exception of lighted nocks. With the exception of lighted nocks. If, for those of you who didn't know, Pope Myung is accepting that now. Because
that was a big thing there for a while, was it? That no one... It was kind of on the fence about it.
Yeah, that's like
they
the
wouldn't
whole
thing. They wouldn't accept lighted nocks for
like the
longest time.
That's like the whole thing when you go to try and buy beer and your driver's license is expired. It's like... Well, what's the holdup?
Let me say this, guys. There's the cool thing about the Pope Myung is if there's a debatable topic like that and they're being hard pressed for it, you will be involved in the vote. And you basically, they have voting and elections and stuff within the Pope Myung club. You can decide if you're unhappy with the club in its current state, you can vote and change it. And we got a vote, accept lighted nocks or not. And, oh, man, that was several years ago. I don't know how long it's been.
Probably overwhelming.
4 or 5 years ago now.
Yeah, that'd probably be a good guesstimate.
I got to be honest. I said no at first. I voted no.
Why?
I just thought I'm for it now. But at the time, I was like so like, no batteries.
Just keeping it traditional.
I was not traditional, but otherwise I'd be hunting with a recurve. But like, I was like, where does it stop?
Right.
That was
right.
My mindset at
okay.
the time.
Yeah, all right. I can kind of get it.
Like, I told people that. I'm like, I voted no. I voted no on the light of Knox. I felt like I had, like, committed some sort of, like, everyone's like, what? Why? I'm like, where does it stop?
Yeah, whatever.
You know what I mean?
You don't use them, do you?
Mm-mm. I'm going to probably. I don't right now. Currently, I don't.
I think they're, amazing.
I mean, there's so many benefits and no negative.
You can see your arrow right away, so, like, you can know, hey,
I'm completely
aware.
What
kind of blood do I got, you know?
Right. I'm completely aware. There's the positives completely outweigh the negatives.
There's no negatives.
Absolutely. I'm 100% on board. I understand it. But you get my other point, though.
I feel you.
They're a little bit heavier.
Here's my thing.
Again, you're Pope and Young. It's a very classic organization. You're like, you know, I can't wait till we're having this podcast in like 4 years, and Kurt's like, dude, I totally love the air bow.
He just grows to like it.
Dude, I told you, man, I hated that air bow at first, but now I kind of get it.
It's kind of growing on me, man.
I totally feel it, man.
Well, the thing is with like the lighted nock is I get it, man, but at the time I just want to see bow hunting be a tradition that sticks around forever. And,
yeah, absolutely.
And that I joke around a lot, and I'm more harsh on crossbows than what I should be, but you know, if you got to use a crossbow, you by all means. Like, if I get a shoulder injury, I'll be out tomorrow with a fucking crossbow.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
yeah,
I will be.
We will not let you. We won't let you do it.
Kurt's going morel hunting with a crossbow.
I'll punch you with the one arm I do have.
There you go.
But you know what I mean? Like, our buddy Matt and Clark, you know, Matt broke his arm. And
he shot a world-class deer.
With a crossbow, man. Like, do it.
At least it wasn't with a rifle.
I'm cool with limited season on crossbows, which... I've come around even on that.
And, I mean, you know, if it gets... here's where I feel with that.
I just don't want it to be all the time.
Well, I got news for you, buddy. If it gets people like, where they're like, they shoot a deer with a crossbow.
What do you mean
right?
You got news for me?
Just pay attention to the news there, buddy. things are starting to move. We won't get into it too much, but...
people's heads are going to roll.
If somebody gets into it, and, you know, say they're like, and this probably wouldn't be a bad thing. Say someone's 20, maybe 19, 20, maybe even 30, and they're like, hey, I want to get into hunting, but I'm afraid that, like, you know, with a real bow, I won't be able to shoot as well. Or maybe it's just like a kind of – shooting a crossbow is very easy. It's a very easy thing to do. And that first deer that they put down, man, maybe they might get them the bug, and they're like, you know what?
Okay, let me read you some principles of bow hunting.
I got a quick question, though. Like, why does it bother you so much if it's year-long?
because I don't think that...
Season long, not like you're going to be right, out in May. Yeah.
Season long, because I think that like archery season is so long because it's a challenge. Like, you have to dedicate yourself to the challenge to be successful of bow hunting. Whereas with a crossbow, yeah, there may be more ethical shots being made, but it takes away from that, like, that tradition of bow hunting and dedicating yourself to the chase, to the challenge, whereas it's like you're pulling a trigger. You're not propelling an arrow, a projectile through, just like what we read, the definition of the bow and arrow. It's right. not that. It's not. It's like everything that's not that. And the thing is, it's like you're saying, well, they don't know if they can shoot well. Like, I don't know if they're up to the challenge. Well, if you get on here, like popeandyoung.org, what is bow hunting? Here's the bullet points. Challenge, practice, simplicity, primitive, skill, discipline, outdoorsmanship, patience, craftsmanship.
They missed one.
Perseverance.
Integrity should be on there.
But that is what bow hunting is, and that's what I always want bow hunting to be. And that's my concern. I certain things is fine, like whatever. You know, if you're, like we said before, I don't want to like hammer that in. If you're injured, that's cool. If the season's even limited, if it's like a certain from this date to this date, open crossbow, like go for it.
Where you can understand it. It just, it's one of them deals that.
That's me personally. That's not me speaking for a working class bow hunter as a whole. So anyway, I don't want Illinois to ever have a rifle season. I don't. But I have good friends that do that are like, man, I'd love to hunt with a rifle.
No, hell no.
But I say no. But
you see the numbers that they put up with shotgun season? Dude, see, no.
This is my point, kind of. No. Like the push for like let crossbow go all year. Oh, hey, man, let's get rifling. Yeah, we got crossbow now. It's fine. Everything was good.
I think Iowa's talking about that right now.
They're trying to cringe.
Maybe we can hunt deer with tannerite, man. It's cool. Yeah, and we had rifles, man. Last year was cool. Rifles.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, we're going to hunt deer with tripwire, and it's going to be. Where does. Yeah, and I'm feeling where you're at. It's like, where does it end? You know, what did Iowa do? They did that, and I don't know a whole lot about it, but it's like rifle. It's pistol cartridges out of a rifle.
Hey, you want me to read a. Crossbow policy statement on Pope and Young?
God, no, I don't want to hear that, but all right.
Is it any good?
I don't know. I've never read it. I just clubs position statements. So they have statements on certain things.
Why do they have
things.
A deer looking through a fence like the deer's in prison?
Can shoots position statement.
All right.
They have drone position statement, antler horn buying position statement.
Ooh.
Party hunting, tracking dogs, search and recovery position statement. Oh, these are interesting. I didn't know this was on here.
Yeah, share that.
These are really good topics, actually.
Okay. The Pope and Young Club was founded to promote bow hunting and to record for posterity and outstanding examples of North American big game animals taken solely with the hunting bow. For the purpose of the Pope and Young Club, a bow shall be defined as a longbow, recurve, or combine bow that is handheld and hand-drawn and that has no mechanical device to enable the hunter to lock the bow at full or partial draw. Other than the energy stored by the drawn bow, no device to propel the arrow will be permitted. Consequently, the Pope and Young Club does not consider the crossbow to be a hunting bow and will not accept any trophies collected by crossbow hunters. Further, the Pope and Young Club considers the use of crossbows during the bow hunting seasons to be a serious threat to the future of bow hunting. The Pope and Young Club therefore recommends a crossbow should not be considered for any use in bow hunting only season. Also, the club strongly recommends that crossbow hunting be abolished from all existing bow hunting only seasons. We encourage all states and provinces which desire to allow use of crossbows for hunting big game to require mandatory crossbow specific education, licensing, seasons, and reporting requirements. Agreed, Pope and Young Club. Preach. Preach.
They were like, hey, yeah, we kind of get it, but. Get out of here with that weak sauce, son.
Kurt's hammer just went down.
That's exactly what I just said, and I didn't even know this statement was on here.
Okay, hey, this brings up what I was talking about earlier, the way you shoot that canned...
You want me to read the
Because look at that deer. That deer looks like it's in jail. It's like, hey, man, put some money in my books, daddy.
It looks sad.
So,
trying to get a Snickers and some ramen.
What do you guys think, to all our listeners? Like, do you agree with that crossbow statement? Or do you disagree with it? What's your thought on it? Like, am I out of line with my opinion on it? And I'm not against it, but I'm against it during regular season. Like, it needs to have, like it said.
Its own season.
To require mandatory crossbow-specific education, licensing, seasons, and reporting requirements.
Okay, but then, okay, if they have their own season, are they going to shorten bow season?
No, they get their own two and a half day season after January.
Two and a half day.
After January.
Kirk gives them the 2.5 day. Funny enough, their day starts at 9 and ends at 2.
I'm joking, but high fence position statement. That's which is good. They have one. It does not consider Pope Young does not consider game proof fence enclosures to be a condition meeting the basic tenets of fair chase. Fair chase is defined as the ethical, sportsmanlike, and lawful pursuit of free-ranging wild animals in a manner which does not give the hunter an improper, unfair advantage over the animal. As such, the club does not accept any entries into its record program, which has been taken from within a game-proof fence enclosure.
So they're not going to take anything from the United States after Trump builds his wall?
They have a drone one. Antler bind. This is something that probably a lot of people are curious about, and I've never actually, it's been a while since I've read this. Pope Young does not condone the buying or selling of wildlife. This includes antlers and horns. The unpropelled success of wildlife conservation and subsequently our hunting heritage is a direct result of the establishment and maintenance of the North American model of wildlife conservation. One of the key principles of North American model of wildlife conservation speaks to the notion of trade in wildlife and wildlife parts, the elimination of markets and commerce of wildlife. In present day, the practice of buying and selling antlers and horns inevitably contains an abuse of the Boone and Crockett and Pope Young scoring system, using score to assign monetary values to animals and antlers slash horns is counter to the very purpose and objectives of the scoring system. This act defines the very purpose we hunt, the values that hunting teaches, and the public acceptance of hunting. Furthermore, the exorbitant figures often attached, coupled with tremendous media and industry attention, can lead to either unethical and illegal behavior by some, or the perception that such behavior is pervasive. To that end, the Pope and Young Club has a policy that removes our volunteer certified measures from any involvement within the buying and selling of antlers, horns, and those that choose to do so. Which is why, which is why I always avoided auctions. And I'm like, I can't go to those. I don't want to go to them.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
Not to mention, it makes people want to hunt. It makes people want to find your sheds.
Yeah.
And it makes people that don't hunt. I'm going to buy antlers for my dog chews.
Yeah. Here's where I'm like 50-50 with this. Like, I don't, and I do agree with Pope and Young's decision because, again, they're like, you know, we don't want people buying things and then entering fake records and,
but they
you
have
know,
to
just
have
causing it. But they, it's an absolute necessity for they're doing. So if it,
I've been asked by people to measure deer. I know they didn't. I call people out. Not call them out. Like, I know what you're doing, but I know for a fact I've been asked by maybe only 3 to 5 times by people. Hey, can you measure a deer? Well, and I was asked, was it a bow kill, whatever? No. I got it from so-and-so. Like,
yeah.
And I know they want to measure on it for a value on it.
Yeah, and, you know, where I'm at with that, you know, it's, again, 50-50. So if, say I meet, you know, little old Ethel, you know, I help her put her groceries in her car, and she's all of a sudden like, hey, I got some
Ethel again.
She's like, hey, I got some elk antlers you want to buy, you know? They're just laying around. $5 can take them. You know, it's nothing like that.
That's different, and
I get where you're talking about that whole big trade deal.
Like, if I got one from a garage sale and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take this to an auction this week, yeah, and you want to measure it for me so I can know, like, oh, yeah, this is
yeah, and again, it's like, hey, man, could I give you, like, $20 for those antlers versus we're going to go out at night with rifles and go hunt some bucks and drop them and then saw their antlers off and sell them. I can understand how that's going to lead up to it, and Pope and Young doesn't want anything to do with that. So
people are going to argue, though, where's it end? Where does it start?
Where does it end? Where does it start? And there is, man, argument. You know, it's not like the way it used to be, guys. It never used to be that way, but, you know, it's just, man, what can you do?
I feel you. This is an important one. It's off what we're talking about, but I think it's cool to have this in here, and they ask this when you fill out the fair chase form if you enter an animal in the record book.
It's probably one of the coolest parts, I think.
Yeah, is the search and recovery position statement. I think this is important. And reading this is probably going to get a lot of people to want to join the club and a lot of people that just, I'm not a member and I don't care, whatever's fine. I encourage you to join. It supports what we do. It is the responsibility of all hunters to give total effort to recover an animal by track and trail until every reasonable possibility has been exhausted. This is a fundamental principle of ethical hunting and is well understood in our heritage and taught in hunter education. This ethic, coupled with the fact that the club's record program records only bow-harvested animals, translates into a policy stating that an animal for which the search was abandoned and the animal later recovered will not be eligible for entry.
How far is later?
I would say if you shot a deer today and you didn't find it until 3 weeks from now.
Oh, yeah, because they could say, yeah, maybe he recovered and then
if you shot a deer today, being Wednesday, whatever day it is, and you search tomorrow and the next day and the next day and you found it Saturday, I would say that's acceptable.
Yeah, but as far as, yeah, a couple weeks, or you find him.
I personally would say that's acceptable.
So, so like a week is a stretch?
I don't know. If you
came I would say it is.
I would say it probably is. If you came to me and I didn't know you and you're like, hey, I shot this 140-inch shape pointer. I want to enter it in the record book. I looked every day for a week to find it, and I finally found it. What I would do is call Pope and Young, and because we can do that. They're cool like that. They'll answer your questions, and I would say, hey, this is the situation.
They would probably ask, what did the deer look like when it was found? Well, was it ate up? Was it freshly ate? It look like it'd been dead for a week?
Assuming if that ever happens, any of our listeners get field photos. I always recommend that if you kill a deer or an animal you want to enter in the record book. Take a field photo.
140-inch eight, yeah, you're going to anyway.
It goes a long way for history and the memory of your kill to have a photo of it, a good clean photo in the field, and Pope and Young will want one. They like to have a field photo. And I always tell people, you know, get the highest quality image photo you have, and when you give it to me, because they want one sent in, get a good print of it, because you never know. You could be in their magazine, The Ethic, you know?
Yep.
So I don't know. I'd say depends on your situation.
Yeah.
A couple days, I'd say you're good, because sometimes you might take you 2 days to look for a deer. You know, sometimes you might shoot them late in the evening and let them lay overnight. You might not find them till the afternoon.
Well, for Steve, it'd take him a month, so.
I couldn't get my golf cart in there, so I don't want to go look in there.
Wait till it's light enough and eaten to drag it back up the ravine.
Oh, because apparently I'm afraid of the dark, huh?
You are afraid of the dark, son. That's the Pope and Young. We kind of went off on that, but I think that's interesting stuff, man. I think if you didn't know that, it's good to know. A lot of them I didn't know the exact.
I didn't know that wordage. Any of that stuff.
Pope and Young has a museum. While we're talking about it, it's pretty cool to see. They got Fred
Bear's
hat.
You've been there, haven't you?
Yeah, I took my measures class there. It's pretty cool, man. They got a lot of neat stuff. And
where's that at again?
It is in Chatfield, Minnesota. Yeah, Chatfield, Minnesota. If you want to check that
out.
Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30, Saturday, 10 to 5. Admission is free. Donations welcome.
I'd love
to
go
there. No, it's Cold Lake, Minnesota.
No, don't do that to me.
Yeah,
right
I'm doing it.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool. You can get on there. I think it's $40, $35, $40 a year to be a member. $35 enter an animal.
Free newsletter, though.
Yeah, you get that. I don't know. It's a good club, man.
And they also have, if you're looking, they have a list of all the measures around you, correct?
Yep.
On the website, if you need to find a measure.
Yep, you can go on there and search anyone you need to in your area, and yeah, you can find them. So I'm on there. If you're in my area, you can look me up and call me, and I can measure it if I have time. It seems like I don't have time to do any of that stuff anymore, but I'm sitting here talking with you, buffoon, so.
Well, I mean, life could always be worse. I mean, you could be working instead of hanging out with us, drinking a couple cold ones, talking hunting. This is what this podcast has really been about, guys. Oh, drinking beer and talking hunting.
Well, boys, talking random shit about hunting.
We went in raw on this podcast. And
raw-dogged it.
It came out. I enjoyed it, man.
I did, too.
It probably listens really bad. That's cool, though.
I doubt it.
We've had worse.
Yeah, we sure have.
We've had better, too. So, yeah, we're right in the pocket. It's like Leahy was.
I think it's about time to sign off here, boys.
I think so, too.
WorkingClassBowhunter.com, everyone. The store is live.
Go buy some stuff.
I just said that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
I didn't hear you.
Because I peaked the mic.
Jesus.
All right. the store, workingclassbowhunter.com, the shoot, May 6th, if you're interested. Let us know. Shoot us a message, Facebook, Instagram. Email us. Reach out to us. We like hearing from everyone.
And if you can't make it, donate your $25 to Dark Horse Lodge. You can go to darkhorselodge.org or smile.amazon.com. Well, actually, that's just if you're just on Amazon. Just go donate to their website. If you have any questions, call them.
Or if you feel bad about both, just go to workingclassbowhunter.com and get yourself a Working Class Bowhunter hat.
Boom.
Maybe you'll get a good girlfriend with you, and then kill a big deer this bow season, because that's just what it does.
I mean, it's good
luck of the podcast, man. Good you
luck.
Get a lady.
Okay, we're getting loose. All right, this bush light's for you. Go shoot your bow. We love you.
Later.
A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.